When you get the Planet Fitness Black Card, you can bring a friend anytime you work out. And now through March 13th, get your first month free when you join. You heard that right. Conquer the stair climber with your partner in climb. Enjoy a post-workout recovery session in the hydro massage. And do it all again with access to any of our 2,700 convenient locations. So, you coming? Get your first month free and all the perks with the PF Black Card for just $1 down, $24.99 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends March 13th. See club for details.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
The game is on the line, and I've only got a shot clock's worth of time to tell you about Subway's $6.99-foot-long deal. That's right. Order now in the Subway app and get any footlong on the menu for just $6.99. Fresh sliced deli meat, fresh crispy veggies. Ah, too much good stuff. Get it now on the Subway app. Any footlong for just $6.99. Use code 699FL now. Only here for a limited time. Redeemable at participating U.S. restaurants. Subway app, online orders only. Add-ons, additional plus tax. Additional fees apply on delivery. Excludes footlong snacks. Limited time.
Squad with your girl Adubia Bichum. Tonight we're having an interesting conversation. Elections is almost coming up in December, and so many things have been shared by the various political parties talking about how they want to transform our country in terms of doing certain things that would help in digitalization. Now with this, we want to, the word can be scrutinized, what has been shared so far. And I have my guests who will be getting into that conversation today. I have the two main geeks who have been on this show for a very long time. I have with me Winston Wucher. He is a tech consultant. Winston, you're welcome back.
Thank you.
It's been a while.
It's been a long while.
You have been missed.
Thank you. It's nice to be back.
And I have with me Michael Ajete. He's also a tech consultant. Michael, you're welcome back.
I'm really liking the eye there.
We are live on YouTube and on Facebook. If you just want to see what's happening in the studio, you can hop onto any of our social media handles. So many things happening. I think last 2 weeks we had a conversation about what's happening on social media and how that can affect someone in terms of making a decision to vote for a particular party or not. Tonight, we want to look at what has been shared so far in the manifestos. 1 million young people getting trained in digital skills. I mean, there have been a number of things that have been shared. We'll be going through them. But generally, what are your views? I'll start first with Michael. What are your views generally? I like that look.
Generally, I feel that we are too concerned as a people with the imagery of a digital environment, enabling digital environment, rather than dealing with the actual nitty-gritty dirty work that enables such a thing. To cite examples, most of the places that we use as examples, they are such an advanced society, use of the technology. That's because they took the time to lay a solid foundation upon which anybody can build. The thing with all those places is, granted, it's getting to the point now where more of them are trying to reinvent the wheel or mm-hmm. fix problems that have already been solved.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, now they have the opportunity to do that. They are not concerned about the smaller things down the Maslow's hierarchy of needs of looking after themselves, being able to feed themselves, or just know that, look, my base is covered. Mm. I can now think about greater and greater things, and I have an environment which I can try and solve those problems with like-minded people. And if I get a good idea, if it is truly a good idea, I am more likely to find a backer to help me take that idea to new heights, mm-hmm. if it truly is a mm-hmm. good idea. And then based on that, then we have a platform upon which we can all work. That is literally how Uber started. That's how Facebook said. They just started out, okay, everything around me is taken care of.
Yeah.
What can I do to further?
What problem can I solve?
What problem can I solve, and how can I go further? That is it. We don't do that. We think of it from the other way around. We look at
mm-hmm.
an insular success state and are like, okay, let's replicate that. That is the digital way of going about things. I mean, wow. So you're trying to build a multi-story house, but you do not have the foundation for it.
Mm.
So you get wood instead and then do a facade of a house. So there's nothing much behind it. And you say, oh, the job is done because it looks the same. Meanwhile, functionally, it is nowhere near.
Mm.
And it's a dog-eat-dog-out world out there, especially in the world of technology. If your thing isn't good enough, it will be left behind by the users. No questions asked.
That's so true.
They do not care where it came from. They do not care how it was made. If it does, that is how, for years, Google was a leading search. It wasn't even a question. It was straight up a verb.
Mm.
And then in the past 2-3 years, ChatGPT has just overtaken mm-hmm. it. Now, people don't think, oh, let me go and Google it. There's now a question of what can an AI tell me about X and Y problem.
Yeah.
That's exactly how it is. The world doesn't care where things come from. They just care. They only care about if this thing is better. Truly, I will use it. I will not ask questions about it. Implications be ignored, and that is the thing. So we look at those successes like, okay, I'm going to replicate that. Meanwhile, where is the framework upon which, like, okay, let us build it, and if it is good, it will take off by its own. You won't need to force it. You won't need to say, but because it was done by X, Y, and Z, that doesn't matter. A lot of the tech gurus have made things since their initial successes that haven't worked.
That's true.
And that doesn't mean they haven't tried. And sometimes they work, but more often than not, the first one is what hits, then the rest is just so-so. It will never, it's a rare case. They never get up to the state of the initial hit. It's always trying to catch up to where they were. At best, they get to 80% of the way, but the initial 100 they hit never comes back. And those are the guys who know what they are doing. So how much more us here?
When we are crawling. Such an interesting opening remarks, Winston. Before I come to you, if you are listening to us, we'd like to hear from you too. What are your thoughts on the manifesto? This is mainly concerning technology, the different things that have been shared. You can send us your message on the WhatsApp number 055-1111-997. 055-1111-997. Let us hear from you. Winston,
mm-hmm.
your thoughts, general.
General thoughts on... So, I read everything, all manifestos, even outside the tech stuff. And what I've realized, when you look at our country specifically, how things have gone, you notice that, I'm sorry, I need to say it straight, I honestly feel like politicians are enamored with the grandiose idea of technology, not the tangibility and practicality of it.
Mm.
It's like they want the moniker E whatever attached to everything, or they want to show that, because I mean, and it's not only politicians, it feels like it's an issue concerning the generation before ours. You when we're talking outside,
just before we came in, you
talked about how you made a whole Google. They'll tell you, the old people will come and tell you that, oh, make this a digital questionnaire, everything. And when it's time to fill it out, they want to print it.
Yeah.
They like the idea of technology. They like the idea of what it's supposed to do. Maybe they've heard this from their children and they've seen the convenience of
and
it.
They don't want to be left behind in a
way. Yeah, they want to feel like they are part of the moving train. But when it's time for them to actually board the train, it gets wishy-washy. It gets very, very flimsy. So I think my issue, my overarching view is that politicians are unfortunately too, like, they just like the talking points and the statistical numbers of this is now digitized, this is now this, this is now that. Okay, it's digitized. Does it work? These are the more important questions. Like Michael said, if you propose a technology and it has zero functionality, we will forget you and we will leave you. The government's job is to be focusing on policy and framework so that we will identify the needs, and then based on the room that the frameworks and policies will give us, we will create this technology. Because the honest truth is, technology is created from hunger. It's created from a hunger to solve a problem. Technology created from a social intervention program will never do well. It won't, because the drive someone, an individual who is putting his blood, sweat, and tears into making this thing a reality is going to be totally different from a technology that's based off a government job. Because what's the term that you hear, Eyaba Njuma? We hear this term all the time. Do you want to do Eyaba Njuma with technology? I don't think we should do that.
A lot has been said so far. I mean, in our opening remarks, based on what has been shared in the different manifestos. But we want to go deeper into it. It's an idea that is being shared by two of the political parties, actually. And we would be mixing them. What NDC is saying and what NPP is saying. They're the main people who have really been making noise about this, and so we'll be talking about them. So some of them I'll read out, and then we'll just try and dissect and see how best it fits in our settings, and then also what is in it for us as citizens. So one of the things that has been said by the NPP said, we will accelerate Ghana's growth into a world-class digital economy. Why did you make that face? Into a world-class digital economy and make Ghana the digital hub of Africa. We will do this through policies, competitive incentives, and investments. We'll invest in developing local talent and tech startups. So with that, that's when they have the breakdown. The first one being training 1 million young people in all areas and levels of digital skills. Michael.
That's like saying that you're going to train people in all areas of worldwide cooking. Where is your focus? Which one are you picking? Because if you say you want to cook like they do all over the world, you have not even picked a continent, let alone a country / a region.
Maybe because they have that blueprint somewhere.
That's the point of this manifesto. Share it so we know. Because that's a extremely broad statement. And it still comes to a point where you can train people in, for example, as a small business, what language, if you say you want to train people in technology, so they're going to have to learn how to write, what you call a code. What code are you going to pick? And for what purpose? Because someone who's developing an app will be using some codes very different from someone who's developing websites. Mm-hmm. Same for someone who's developing for service and backends. Like, what are you developing for? So what are you training for? And then there's even the question of, with all that, what are they even using to, forget even like for their training, just what environments are they coming into to make this, what environment are they creating to make this training happen?
I think one of the things they said is working with educational institutions and leading Ghanaian and global tech firms to establish a national robotics engineering and AI lab. Like, those are some of the ways they want to be doing this. What's the most making me laugh?
I mean, it's always interesting. I don't have a problem. I think my problem with the statement is the need to give a specific figure of 1 million. Mm. Me, when it comes to politics, I said this earlier, I have a policy. Do not take any social intervention program that was touted in a political campaign as fact, and do not vote based on that. Because at the end of the day, a manifesto is a wish list. But if you overemphasize these things, like 1 million, it becomes tangible figures that people are looking out for. Mm-hmm. And because you know that people will be looking out to count these numbers, mm-hmm. you may not do that necessary due diligence. Like Michael said, let's pick a struggle. Let's pick which aspect of the digital space. Okay, if it's coming from government, then you look at it in the guise of, okay, what are the digital skills the country needs? Mm-hmm. Do we need 100,000? Okay, no. Do we need 10,000 app developers? If you ask me, I don't think so. In the framework of government-trained app developers. I say that because we don't have a robust enough market for whatever softwares will be created by these 10,000 people.
But could it be that they could be creating something for the global market?
Actually, I was coming to make that point alongside Winston, that like, then you're literally throwing them to the wolves.
Yes.
Without the necessary preparation. The global market has far outpaced us, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And let's be clear and about this thing. Mm-hmm. We all know that government is not at the cutting edge of affairs, especially when it comes to the technology. Historically, that has been true.
And it's only Ghana's government.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a global issue.
Yeah. And we know what our case is like, because if you have any doubts to that, look at your leaders in your communities now, and then go through the process of introducing them to any form of new technology. Right now,
is it leaders? You mean our workplaces and all that? Your workplaces,
your churches, exactly, like socially around you. Yeah. I'm not even going as far as the elected officials ahead of us. Just straight up in your social circles, look at the leaders there who are around the same age as those who will be doing it, and then just go through the process in your head right now, or even not even just go through the experiences you have or trying to introduce them to these forms of technology. Those are the same people who are now going to be writing these policies. Do you really think that they are going to be able to outpace the likes of Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg, who have done this thing for years and are still ahead of them? If you recall way back when Zuckerberg and Google and all these guys were called for their antitrust things, mm-hmm. look at the questions that they were being asked by the U.S. Senate. The U.S. senators. And now, think about, and we saw how embarrassing that was for them. Now, imagine it if it was us. We are, like, as a general rule, the government is far behind on these things. So they cannot, if they are not behind, but what hope do they have to create a set of people that are supposed to be compete with that? It's not for them to do it. It's for them to create.
But if it's not for them, then
there are things that are for them. Like if you ask me, mm-hmm. that's why I kept saying I keep talking about the tangibility figures they keep putting in there. Don't put the number there. There's nothing wrong with wanting to train the youth in digital skills.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
At Tanger Outlets, find all the best brands all on sale every day. Step into the season's newest arrivals and save big on the styles you love. Shop Under Armour, Michael Kors, Crocs, and more. With up to 70% off, plus an extra 25% off for a limited time. Hurry in for amazing deals from the brands you love. Only at Tanger Outlets.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
The game is on the line, and I've only got a shot clock's worth of time to tell you about Subway's $6.99 footlong deal. That's right. Order now in the Subway app and get any footlong on the menu for just $6.99. Fresh sliced deli meat, fresh crispy veggies. Ah, too much good stuff. Get it now on the Subway app. Any footlong for just $6.99. Use code 699FL now. Only here for a limited time. Redeemable at participating U.S. restaurants. Subway app, online orders only. Add-ons, additional plus tax. Additional fees apply on delivery. Excludes footlong snacks. Limited time.
I think they should just make use in digital.
But it's it's a manifesto. You have to put some tangibility figures.
We have to measure.
Exactly. You have to measure the. That's the issue. That's why you shouldn't even be talking about these things. Because if you ask me, we don't need 10,000 software engineers. But 10,000 people who are amazing at Excel is a very big plus for the country.
But it's open. He said
yes.
Digital skills.
That's what I'm saying. That I don't have a problem with what they've said. The only problem I have is the need to put a figure so that we can, in the future, be like, this metric, has it been met or not? I mean, digital skills, if you are talking about data entry skills, skills in Excel. People don't know this, but there's an Excel World Cup where people go globally to show how good at Excel they are.
I mean, it's Excel is a powerful
tool. Even PowerPoint presentation. Like some of these very, and if you ask me, these are digital skills that if the government is championing, it makes sense because I'm like, I can see directly you utilizing these people. But if you are going to create, you are going to focus on, like I said, the grandiose ideas where you're like, oh, we want to create this app. You don't have the market's willingness, the market share, or even the market penetration to create these apps for them to be sustainable. So we shouldn't look there. So I don't have a problem with this specific thing. The only problem I have is the need for it to be measured. And we will have a problem with it down the line if we find out that they are not focusing on digital skills, because you're a government. If you're a government, you are doing this at cost to the citizens. So whatever skills they are going to acquire has to affect the lives of the citizens. If these digital skills will make me go, will make the timelines given on the passport office actually true, that if I pay ABCD, I'll get my passport in 2 days, kudos, amazing. But if it means that this person is going to create an app that's going to create a backlog and I'm still going to spend like 6 months chasing a passport, then I don't think we've done anything.
Okay. So it's more about the number that has been placed on it. That's the figure. But I also see it from another point of view, that at the end of the period, we want to be able to measure.
Yeah, which is the
impact
problem
that we have had. Yeah. You're also seeing that one too, as well.
No, I'm saying that it's sad. That's why I said that it, in a manifesto, it's a promise. So you have to have tangibility aspect of it. I would have loved if there was no need to put a figure. Because imagine if they knew for sure that, you know, in these 4 years, if we spent money on training 5,000 people in digital skills, the outcome of that training program would be far better. Like, because let's say hypothetically I was the minister responsible for this, and I'm like, okay, I'm only looking for 5,000 people. Why 5,000? Because I can find 500 of them local jobs here, and the other 4,500 I can lobby in our partners across the globe to get them jobs, and then when they go and they do these jobs, they will pay a percentage to the government as income tax, even though it's from an external this thing, and that's revenue to the government. But putting 5,000 people for digital skills in a national manifesto sounds ridiculous.
I get what you're saying.
It sounds absolutely ridiculous. So that's why I'm saying, I get it. We need to check in the future that have you met this metric? But it's sad that it has to be in there.
Okay. So the next thing about having educational institutions, that's the AI labs for research, engineering, national robotics, and training of young Ghanaians locally. In a way, it's linked to what we initially spoke about. But here, they want to build the institutions, because currently, I think apart from our main tertiary institutions that we have, and apart from some, now I know that for some of the senior high schools, they are building STEM schools where they are focused mainly on science, sciences and the math and all that. This is one of the things that has been said in the manifesto.
I mean, it makes sense. I don't know about the robotics end. Okay, so I don't want to say I don't know about, because there's a friend of this show, I forgot his name. He runs a robot. He's been running an AI robotics. He's been an AI evangelist before the AI thing popped off. So I think he would have been one of the best people to speak to this. But my thing is, yes, I honest, if you ask me, you're asking me, so I'm going to say it. I think there are several, the government can benefit from several digital skills being vocational skills that are actively taught in schools. Like I talked about data entry, like preliminary data analysis could literally be an SHS vocational skill, in the sense that you go to SHS and the course you are offering is Excel, typing to a certain degree, and some of these things.
What you're saying there is really very important, because we've had situations where some people have finished uni, they come start with the national service, and they don't even know how to use these tools that we are talking about, Word, Excel. So really, if like from,
and if they can take the 1 million from that one, it's a good metric. I feel like that with that one, I'll be comfortable with it, because I'm like, they went to school, you guys restructured the educational system in such a way that these were actionable things they had to learn before they came. Because like you said, it's true, there have been several times where people complain about national service people not being able to use printers, not able to use fax machines. Like, all these things exist. So that's what I'm saying, that the digital skills is nice. Robotics is,
do you think we are aiming too high?
That's the issue. See, and I see this issue across, I'm sorry, I'm not a very political person, but I mean, if you ask me very simple things like, why are you attempting to build a hospital that will house 1,000 people when we can build 10 clinics that would be built faster and can hold maybe 100 people each
and spread across?
That's just me, but maybe that's why I'm not a politician.
I mean, Wiz has said most of it, because I'm thinking, like, for example, the robotics thing, if we come back to that. Okay, fine. You created a coursework where we can now develop robotics. What are they going to do next? Because now that assumes that if, okay, best case scenario, they graduate and at a level where international companies outside of the country are going to swoop them up before they get, but don't swoop everyone up. So there'll be a few left over that will have to now come and start working here.
They start developing things for us. Yeah.
But that's the thing, you can't develop from zero.
Even if you do, the question now is, okay, let's just see.
Let me rephrase. You can develop from zero, but you see me doing my developments. Because I'm extremely lucky that I have not only the time, but the ability and the resources to try and develop some of these things. And every time I work on these things, I get stuck somewhere and I have to make headway on my own. People out there with less than half of these resources and they still have to pull it off.
It's like watching Michael work sometimes, you realize that there's an avenue. Go back to this 1 million. There's an avenue for such practical skills, not necessarily digital skills, but skills that influence the digital space. Like, for instance, I'm always watching Michael soldering motherboards and stuff like that, and it's the most fascinating thing to me. And honestly, if someone would pay for me to travel the country, leave the country and go and learn it, that, because I watch YouTube videos about how people are just, they like, the TV is dead. The TV is dead.
Yeah.
But this guy, look, he takes his Amita, he's poking, and then all of a sudden, he puts solder on something, and then the TV is back alive. Like, and I'm like, imagine. Because what I think Ghana needs to focus on is, we need to focus on recycling. So imagine you have 10,000 people who know a motherboard like the back of their hands. And all these bad TVs that come from out that we trash in the what's the is it Agbogbloshie? Like in that very, if they could revive all those things, those are products that our market can consume. They're avenues. My worry is the idea, the grand ideas. We want apps. No, we don't. We don't need apps. We don't. If go and ask Spotify how many people use Spotify in Ghana. It's irrelevant.
I mean, there's so many apps that have been developed that are not being used.
Yes.
Yeah. At all. Right there in the app store.
It's true. So many of them. So many of them. So what I'm just getting from the conversation is that looking at what you want to build, an AI lab and all that, it's like we are not really ready as a nation for that now.
Me, if you ask me, it'd be cool. The idea, it'd be cool. But it is... the focus, what is the focus of the, because okay, let's just say hypothetically the robotics thing picks up and it's absolutely amazing. What is robotics used for in the current stage? It is used to unfortunately lay off people, to make working more efficient and faster and more cost effective. You don't even have the jobs and now you want to lay off people.
And people are being trained in their digital skills, then even when they are laid off, they will have the task skills to complement that.
If it takes 10 people to make one robotic arm that can do the job of 100 people, 90 people are floundering somewhere wondering what to do with their lives. So I'm not opposed to the idea. At the end of the day, it's the scale of it. Like I said, they won't say they want to only teach 500 people. But I think they should teach only a few people. Let's go slow. And then focus on the very important big things.
The question is, if they teach a few people like you're saying, then what happens to the rest? Because now
the rest will learn another thing. Because honestly, the soldering, I'm not gonna lie. Like Michael knows, I have some of the weirdest interests, like blacksmithing.
Yep.
If someone could just teach me how to be a blacksmith, it's something I've absolutely wanted to do. But I've been looking for a blacksmith for how many years now? I haven't found a single blacksmith.
We'll move on to the next thing that has been said, and then we'll look at that too. So they said providing venture funding and grant support for commercially viable tech projects by Ghanaian startups to drive innovation, foster high-tech entrepreneurship, create jobs, and support growth of Ghanaian high-tech businesses.
You know what?
The way you have... Looks like we have to continue this one. You know what? This is Geek Scar, your girl, Adobia Breach. Hold your thoughts. They we'll let you speak to that. Geek Scar is brought to you by MTN. MTN, everywhere you go. Now, you know, we all have those days when you are low on everything. Energy, time, cash, and even airtime and data. Well, that's why MTN Extra Time is an airtime and data advanced service that allows you to make calls or browse the internet even when you have insufficient balance. All you have to do is to dial *506#, *506#, go through the prompt and select the amount of airtime or data you need. It's more than simple. Doing your favorite things on MTN means you don't get interrupted even when you are low on airtime or data. Please remember, all terms and conditions apply. This is Geek Squad with your girl Adobia Brichum. We are having a conversation on the manifestos of the two main political parties, that's the MPP and the NDC, mainly on the digital transformation that they are looking at having our country when they are in power to transform us digitally. This program is brought to you by MTN. MTN, everywhere you go. Do stay with us. We'll be right back after. This is Geek Squad with your girl Adobia Breachum. I'm here with Winston and Michael. We are having a conversation on the manifesto of both MPP and NDC when it comes to digital transformation for our country, Ghana. Should they be in power? So far, we have looked at two main things, I would say. Creating the avenue for 1 million young people to be trained digitally, and then also building educational institutions and global tech firms to establish a national robotics, engineering, and some other labs. Now we want to move to the venture funding. So with this point, it says, providing venture funding and grant support for commercially viable tech projects by Ghanaian startups to drive innovation, foster high-tech entrepreneurship, create jobs, and support growth of Ghanaian high-tech businesses. Michael, I think you were on that point just before we went on the break.
I was just going to say, you know, to be fair, that sounds fine. That answers some of the questions. Like, okay, you are not, now granted, there's a lot of questions about how you're going to vet all of this, what amounts they're going to get, what the terms of venture capitalists, the venture capitalist injection will be, and all that. Fair, but that does address some of the concerns. Like, okay, someone comes up with a good idea, you are claiming that you're going to give them an avenue to pitch it if it is truly a good idea, so I can go on to the next level and actually become profitable. All right, I won't belabor that. That one does sound pretty good and interesting. We are yet to see how you would run such a thing. But yeah, if you can pull it off, great. I look forward to seeing that, because then it does address a lot of things. You created at least some form of environment for people to bring their ideas forward and then let it go fair if truly it is good. I will not belabor the nitty-gritty details because there's a lot to be asked there. But was something you want
me
to?
Me personally, introduction of venture capitalists into the system is very important, because majority, if not all, tech companies were funded by some venture capitalists. And for people who don't know, like, a venture capitalist, to just make it bare bones, it is basically someone who is willing to take all the risk and reap all the rewards. So they will invest. If everything tanks, if the company goes under, they will just be like, okay, GG's, we lost all this money, it's all right. But if the company pops off, they have like a certain quantity of shares, and then they have, if you take, I think Elon was one of the people who introduced venture capitalists to Sam Altman for OpenAI. So it's really good that the government wants to do this, but it goes back to my earlier statement about policy and framework. Your job is policy and framework. If government gets into the money talk part, it becomes murky.
So in that case, what should they rather do?
You're asking me, so I say it straightforward. Now there's this, I could be wrong, but I remember this, I will never forget this, because it happened to our next door neighbor who was Sierra Leonean. And being Sierra Leonean, she wanted to start, she had started a Sobolo business. Yeah, what has that got to do with tech? I'll get to it. She started a Sobolo business and she wanted FDA approval. And FDA, you require a full business. So she's going through the process of creating a business. And she is asked that since she's a foreigner, she needs to present $250,000.
For
basically it is like I don't want to say this wrong, maybe you guys can fact check this, but it's basically a proof of seriousness type thing. $250,000 is absurd.
She's a foreigner.
Yes, so it goes the same if you have a business and you are trying to get foreign help, sometimes the amount of money you need to set up your startup, you know, they catch $250,000.
I mean, Sobolo business.
Yeah. But let's say it is a proper tech startup. Like sometimes when it comes to these tech startups, majority of them, they spend their time testing, getting data centers, the payments for these data centers and stuff like that. Those are some of the things they are trying to pay for. They are not trying to pay for a condo, or they are not trying to pay for a car and stuff like that. They are trying to pay for services and things that will help them bring their technology up. But if you've created such a high bar in terms of how much money has to be pumped in before this partnership can be consented to, then you've already killed
So from the framework point of view, what the government should do, if this thing is still a thing, some people are telling me it's more than $250,000 now. I don't know. Me, this is
you
what
have I have to fact check. Like
yes, you have to fact check. Yeah. Me, this is what I experienced. Michael knows the person. So this is what we know. This is what we heard. But if that is the case, the framework would be that you would have to drop it. And you know what's interesting? Even though we are not talking about it, Cheddar's 12 pillars. That is my favorite pillar out of Cheddar's manifesto, where he talked about how we would help, we will entice foreigners to come in, and they should make minimum investments of $50,000, not $250,000 and $500,000, because technology booms come in bursts. When I start my prototype, the amount of money I need to get it to the next stage is not $1 million. I don't just start my idea and all of a sudden I need $1 million. No. I start small.
Yeah.
But if you expect me to have a $1 million idea from the get-go and then get that $1 million, becomes a problem. So the idea is great, but when government gets involved in directly involved, because it, in this, what I understand from this is that government is going to call the venture capitalists to come.
That's how you understand
That's how I understand it. I could be wrong. I could be mistaken. If government calls them, are they going to be involved in the entire vetting process? That's where I feel like it becomes some way. But it's a great idea.
Got you. We have a message from Jesse Sakumono. He said, interesting discussion, Geek Squad. I agree with your guests that government's role should be in policy formulation and not the hands-on implementation of digital ideas. Look at the number of apps the government has launched to supposedly solve some of our problems, and their current state, okay, considering the costs in creating them. Should I list some for you? Yes, it would be good for you to share some with us. But I mean, this, based on even this question that has been asked, or the message that just came in, like, how many of the apps launched by government have we downloaded on our phones, like, currently?
If you ask me, that shouldn't even be the question. The issue, I didn't want to go into this, but you've asked me, so I'll say it.
The way you say you ask.
If anybody has a problem, we'll blame you. So the thing about the apps is this. The reason why, if you look around globally, there's very minimal situations where governments have made applications or softwares that have been global to, and I'm quoting the Ubers and everything. Some of these technologies that have done that is GPS, made by the American military. Nobody can live without GPS now.
That's true.
So that is a global fundamental need. Then in India, the Indian government spearheaded some biometric technologies and facial recognition technologies and stuff like that. That is something that can be applied and used globally. A music app. Unfortunately, even in Ghana here, the market is not strong or willing enough. I remember tweeting about this where I said they wanted to create a Netflix. And we have very good experience with trying to create a Netflix alternative.
Why you tried that? The way I say you have
it's a long story.
to cut
a
very painful story. But to cut it short, we were 90% of the way there, had everything in place, and then the
economy happened.
Yeah, basically. Actually, funny enough, one of the major backers was Google, and they were looking at the state of things and like, we cannot endorse this project anymore because look at the state of the economy to come, it will not function. Words, and those words literally came to pass.
Like I said, it's a long, sad story. Like I would have come here with a Lambo and never mind, moving on. The thing about the apps is that the Citizens app, I think, is a good idea. And I think the Citizens app, if they would make the Citizens app and just put all these other sub apps under that, it's fine. I don't think anybody's going to have a problem with it, because if you are telling me the Citizens app will help me get taxi when Uber, Bolt, and the others are messing up. That's of no loss to me. And if the Citizen app can show me that, oh, they are going to increase, I'll get a pop-up notification, they are going to increase electricity tariffs and blah, blah. So the Citizens app is great. But why have these sub-apps that should all be part of one thing been separated into multiplicity? It goes back to my argument of metrics and numbers. In the tech space, metrics and numbers are only important in when you're trying to ascertain whether this was good or this was not. Not in a bid to show that we've done something.
I get you. Interesting conversation so far. We've been looking at what has been mentioned in the different manifestos. And so far, the focus is on the digital aspect. We'll touch on one last thing before we go and take the quick tech fixes. This program is brought to you by MTN. MTN, everywhere you go. So this one says, fintechs. This will position Ghana as a multi-regulatory or multi-jurisdictional sandbox for financial and payments interoperability. So one main thing under that is establishing a fintech fund with seed capital of $1 million to attract additional private sector funding to support Ghanaian startups developing payments and financial services solutions specially focused on region-wide exportable solutions. This is from the MPP manifesto.
Okay. Michael, do you remember a few years, some years ago, when you were still working with Margins? Spikey and I found our way to a fintech event that you happened to be a part of at, I think it was Movenpick. Movenpick is the one opposite the National Theatre, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Back then, there was such a vibrant interest in fintechs.
Mm-hmm.
There were many. A friend of mine had started a fintech. But what happened? In the past 4 years, I believe, many, and to be fair, the collapse of these fintechs, I don't think it's only localized. It's not something that is only
in Ghana.
I feel like quite a number, a lot of them have had their issues about regulatory stuff, fraud, all kinds of crazy stuff going on. Fintech, the sustainability of fintechs is directly linked to the strength of your economy. Because if we are responsible for interoperability and moving money around, money has to be around to move.
By all means.
And if there's no money to move around, it becomes a problem. Right now, there's only, I think there's only one fintech, Express Pay. Which one else is there? There used to be, if you're going to, if you're going to take out the loan guys, the ones who offer you loans, and there are a lot on social media.
A lot of the fintechs are still mostly work locally. You cannot do international transfer, which is where a lot of this.
But that's where they argue that. So I know somewhere in Baumier's, the MPP's manifesto, they wanted to talk about creating interoperability across the sub-Saharan region.
Yes, that's
yes, also, if I remember correctly. Yeah. They should do that. Work on that. When that is real, let's come back and talk about fintechs.
When that is real, we'll come back and talk about fintechs. This is Geek Squad with your girl, Adobia Breachum, having a conversation on the manifestos for MPP and NDC. Our focus being on the digitalization. Up next, we'll take the quick tech fixes. We'll be back after that.
Hi everyone, my name is Michelle Lajakum, and as usual, I bring you some tech quick fixes and tips right here on Joy Geek Squad. Today, let's talk about enhancing your WhatsApp video calls with low light mode. Are you struggling with dim lighting during your WhatsApp video calls? WhatsApp low light mode can help improve visibility for clearer conversations. Here's how to activate it. 1. Open WhatsApp. 2. Call a contact to begin a video chat. 3. During the call, locate the bulb icon, the low light mode option on the right top corner of the call screen. 4. Tap to turn it on and enjoy a clearer video in low light setting. And that's it. Well, that's how you stay connected, even in the dark.
Welcome back. This is Geek Squad with your girl, Adobia Bridge. We have been having a conversation on the digital aspect of the different manifestos for the upcoming election. But from the way the conversation has been, definitely we'll have to continue. What is the one thing that you want someone to leave with? I'll start first with you, Michael.
I mean, look, there's still a lot more to cover, but right now, we are not sure how to digitalize the country properly, but you can for sure digitalize your house. So look for SAC, go to sacafrica.com, smart homes conversions, sacafrica.com, talk to me, and then you can at least digitalize your life. Then we'll figure out the country later.
Thank you for that, Winston.
The same way the government wants to invest monies into local technologies, I say go to SHC and go and check and invest in him and change your, like, it's really cool stuff. Like, you just sit in your living room, you can turn on all your lights and all those things. Yeah, so look him up.
Thank you so much for joining me, Michael and Winston, and happy birthday to Kenneth Awachidako. God bless you so much. And I also have two birthday wishes for Dr. Mami Nyakun Bichu, my own sister in love. God bless you so much. Belated wishes to you and my cousin Portia Nanama Opon. Belated wishes to you as well. This has been Geek Squad with your girl Adobia Brichum. Up next is news. A very big thank you to my producers and Kofi. After that, Overdrive with Kofi Hayford. Stay tuned.
Seven FM.